all know it.
I almost committed a major sin there. Arjuna is a Kshatriya. What does that mean? Who can break it down? I think next time, Ante, you're going to give this class. Okay, what does Kshatriya mean?
Kshatriya is
okay, I'm actually looking for the Sanskrit. The meaning of the word Kshatriya is right there in two words. Kshat and Triate. So, what is the meaning of Kshat? Who knows?
So that's Kshat.
Hurt. Yes. And Triate?
Protection.
Huh?
To protect.
Protects. One who gives protection. So, obviously Arjuna's duty is going to have as a Kshatriya, he can't give up fighting. So, right in the beginning, Krishna talks about Swadharma. And he says, Swadharma mapichaveksha navikampitumarhasi dharmyadi yudhyatshayanya chatriyasya navidyate. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there's no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. So you shouldn't hesitate. Arjuna was arguing about, and this section 31 through 38 is basically happiness comes from performing duty. But Arjuna was arguing that he shouldn't fight, and this would bring him happiness. And you know, he said he wasn't interested in a kingdom. He said he wasn't interested in a position or power. He wasn't even interested in going to the heavenly planet so much. When Krishna is saying, no, your duty as a Kshatriya is to protect people. And if you don't perform your prescribed duty, that in itself is a great sin. In fact, there are rules. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a definition of the different orders and their duties, prescribed duties, but even earlier than that, Parasara Muni, who's the father of Vyasadeva, Parasara Muni, he compiled rules for Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. And he very clearly explained that a Kshatriya who doesn't fight is actually sinful. So Arjuna, the first argument that Krishna gives Arjuna is that it's your specific duty. Then he says, Akirtam chapi bhutani katiyishanti tebhyayam sambhavi tasya chakirtir maranad atirichate. That people will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. And we have probably discussed this, or we probably experienced this, a very thing in our society in a certain way. I have when I go through the second chapter, and sometimes I try to memorize some of the verses, and this particular verse has always stuck out in my mind because it's very relative. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. How have we experienced that? I'm getting pretty close to the bone here now. Pretty close to some deep things that are going on. Who would like to venture? How have we experienced this? For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. How has that played out in ISKCON? I'm sure some of you must have ideas.
Concrete examples?
I'm sorry, complete?
Concrete examples? Or
yeah, general. Let's keep it general.
Well, somebody has been a spiritual master, but because of falling down in a not really...
I think that's touched practically every one of us, that some of our more respected leaders who were certainly honored, but by God's grace, by the power of material energy, Prabhupada once said, that the trouble with you Americans is... Anybody know what he said? Yes, yeah, the trouble with you Americans is... There's many troubles with Americans, but... Slightly Canadian. That you have no fear of Maya! We should actually be afraid of the power of Maya and be on guard. You know, the French, whenever they get into sword fighting, en garde! We should be en garde when we face Maya. And some of our people have not been too en garde, and they've been skewered. You know that word? So, having left, it's virtually impossible for them to come back. It's a huge uphill struggle. We haven't seen any that have made it, except for, I know one example, and that devotee, he made really great advancement. He wrote a whole series of books on the life of Prabhupada, and he's doing very well. Changed his ashram. He ate what we call in America, you know, you have apple pie, blueberry pie, strawberry pie. Well, he ate humble pie. In other words, he became very humble. And that's how he was able to come back. But Arjuna is being told by Krishna that if you act in this way, you're known as a very great fighter. He says, Yadrichaya chopapanam svargadvaram apavritam sukina chatriya partha labante yudam idrisham. Chatriyas, they actually look for opportunities for righteous fighting. And because they know that either they'll go to Swarga, heaven, or they'll win a kingdom on the earth. And then he says, if you do not perform your religious duty, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duty and lose your reputation as a fighter. Now Arjuna was such a great fighter that he was famous for, first of all, oh boy. Uh-huh. this is not an ideal whiteboard. Okay. Why was Arjuna, what are some of the things Arjuna was famous for?
Looks like I'm going to be a present.
Famous Arjuna.
Who
can tell me some things Arjuna was famous for? What's the first one, the very first one? Yes. Oh, it was Dhanurdhar. Okay, that's another thing. But what particular, from the very beginning, what made him famous? Great archer, but he didn't. He wasn't a great archer when he came out of the womb. It was a little while later, you know. Yeah.
He was the son of Indra.
He was the son of Indra, the chief of all the demigods. So, certainly that made him famous. What else? After that. He was also the son of... Who?
Pandu.
Kunti, yeah. She wasn't a great Kshatriya, though.
Pandu.
Who was the greatest king of the Kuru dynasty at that time. In fact, the Kurus had kind of lost their control over the world. And when Pandu was finally born and took over the kingdom, he didn't do a Rajasuya sacrifice, but in effect he did. When you perform a Rajasuya sacrifice, you send out a challenge horse, that horse goes all over the kingdom, and the army follows behind the horse, encouraging him, giddy up, you know, go, go. And wherever he goes, they meet different kings, and they conquer them. And actually, I think that's the Ashwamedha Yajna, the horse sacrifice. But the Rajasuya sacrifice is just that you have to get every king to pay some tribute. Every king on the planet has to agree to be subservient to you. So Pandu didn't do that, but in effect he did. He practically conquered all the kings of the world, and nobody was willing to fight him. So Arjuna was his son, and he was trained by Arjuna. Arjuna was the son of Indra. What else about Arjuna do we know? What happened to him in his life? Yeah. Huh? Krishna's friend, but how did that impact on his life? Arjuna was the student, the top student of whom?
Drona.
And who was Drona?
Drona?
A Brahmana, yes. Drona was a student of the devatas, of Bhrigu. He learned all the celestial weapons from the sage Bhrigu. And he was probably the best military guru on the planet. And Arjuna was his top student. What else? Yes.
Conquered Shiva by...
Very good, very good. He conquered Shiva. And what happened when he conquered Shiva? Huh?
He had a special weapon.
Yeah, he got the Pashupat weapon, which is Lord Shiva's personal powerful weapon that he uses practically at the time of destruction, annihilates the whole world. Very powerful. And Lord Shiva is practically the most powerful living entity, even beyond Brahma, because Lord Shiva is actually Vishnu, but touched by the material energy. But yes.
Got a chariot from Vayu.
Yes, yes. Actually, what happened was Krishna and Arjuna,
they
were, after they had made Indraprastha, they were wandering in the forest together, and they came across this Brahmana, very ferocious and powerful looking Brahmana, who said he wanted a favor, he needed protection. And it turned out that that Brahmana was none other than Agni. And Agni had, you know, Agni is the god of fire. Whenever you do a fire sacrifice and pour ghee on the fire, you're offering that to Agni. So Agni had done this sacrifice for one king who was really ambitious about pouring ghee on the fire. So Agni had to eat so much ghee that he got a stomach ailment. He got sick from all the ghee. So even Agni, you know, I mean, if there's any cooks out there, please be easy on the ghee. The devotees say, I know of a lot of temples, you know, good cooking means lots of sugar and lots of ghee. There are other ways to cook. But anyway, so he was told by Lord Brahma that he would have to eat this forest, which was full of herbs and medicinal herbs and things. So he went to eat that forest and when his eating a forest means burning it up. And at that time, Taksha, the snake king, the one who killed Parikshit, Takshaka, he was living there with his family, and he happened to have some kind of friendship with Indra. I don't know how, but anyway, every time Agni tried to eat the forest, Indra would pour down water, pour down rain and put out his fire. So Agni asked for protection from Arjuna and Krishna. So Arjuna said, I agree, we'll protect you, but I need a bow, I need a chariot, I need horses. So at that time he got his Gandiva bow. Agni went to Varuna, I believe, and Varuna brought forth a chariot, beautiful golden chariot, and the Gandiva bow with quivers for arrows that would never be exhausted, two quivers, and various other weapons were given to him, and even Krishna was given a conch shell. When did he get from Vayu? At what point?
I don't remember. It's listed in the Gita somewhere.
Yeah. Let's see. I can't remember it either. Anyway, he got various celestial weapons. But he also, at a certain point, when they were in the forest, in exile, Vyasadeva sent Arjuna to the Himalayas, and Arjuna encountered both his father Indra, whom he defeated, and then he asked for celestial weapons, and then he encountered Lord Shiva, and he fought with Lord Shiva. He pleased Lord Shiva. He couldn't actually defeat Lord Shiva, but he pleased him. It was interesting how he knew that it was Lord Shiva. This is very interesting, because Lord Shiva appeared as a hunter. And as a hunter, and he was surrounded by his followers, ghosts and hobgoblins and Parvati and etc. But they all took the form of beautiful women. So here was this hunter in the forest, and followed by his retinue of beautiful women. And he, Arjuna was at that time doing austerity, tapasya. He had been sent by Vyasadeva to the Himalayas to do tapasya so that he could get these celestial weapons. He performed tapasya, and while he was doing that, body began to heat up, and it was heating up the whole universe, and the demigods were afraid, and they went to Lord Shiva and said, you know, what does he want? What does he want? It's getting hot up here. We're afraid if he continues his austerity that there'll be some damage. This actually happens when you fast. Your fire of digestion, if nothing else, becomes very hot, very high. Pitta increases. That's why people who are high pitta and who are diseased are told to not fast, because that only increases their pitta, their heat. But when someone performs austerity, that's what happens. Their whole body heats up. And when one fasts for months and years on end without eating anything except for a little water or a little air, then there's really the heat of his austerity becomes universal. But anyway, Arjuna was practicing that austerity, and all of a sudden the lights came on, and then he stopped because he had light. And now what happened was a boar, a wild boar, attacked him. Actually, that boar was a demon, a rakshasa. And at that time Lord Shiva also arrived. So Arjuna immediately shot the wild boar. He got up from his meditation, pulled out his bow, but Lord Shiva told him to stop. He didn't stop. Lord Shiva shot his bow. He was dressed like a hunter. And they both collided and hit the wild boar, and of course blew it to smithereens. And then there ensued a fight between the hunter and Arjuna, because Arjuna said, you know, I killed that wild boar. And the hunter said, no, you didn't, I did. And so then Arjuna got angry, and he started fighting with Lord Shiva, but all his weapons were being consumed, and then his quivers, his arrows, became exhausted. He had no arrows in his quivers, and this had never happened to him before. There's so many strange things. So then he wanted to know. He knew it was some celestial. He didn't know it was Lord Shiva. So he built a murti. He quickly built a little mud murti of Lord Shiva. And then he began offering flowers to the murti. And he looked over at the hunter, and he saw the flowers falling on the hunter. And then he knew it was Lord Shiva, so he offered his obeisances. But Lord Shiva was pleased and gave him his Pashupat weapon. And then eventually Arjuna went to heaven and got so many other weapons. And very famous. So Krishna's telling him now, you're so famous, if you think that you're going to be happy by giving up your duty, you're sadly mistaken. You're considering happiness on the basis of the body. You're considering the happiness on the basis of I, me, and mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mahameti, the illusion of the material world. I am this body and this is mine. This is mine. I will become happy by trying to gratify the senses of my body. This was Arjuna. You know, just see. Here's Arjuna. He's a great personality, but he's been put into a position where he acts just like us. So the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita are practically not groomed, what's the right word, designed exactly for us. Then Krishna starts talking about swadharma. We talked about prescribed duties before, and Krishna further discusses prescribed duties in this chapter. Yeah. Huh? What? Put it in the doorway. He talks about swadharma. Anyone know the meaning of this word, swadharma? Well, first of all, what's the meaning of dharma? Who knows the meaning of dharma? No. You know the meaning of dharma, right? Huh? Religion? That's exactly wrong. It's close, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right, but this is an example that explains what dharma is, like sugar. The quality, the essential quality of sugar is that it's sweet. So you could say sweetness is the dharma of sugar. You had an answer there?
Prescribed duties,
that's swadharma, one's own duties, but just essentially dharma.
Dharma means to the soul of, the soul is eternally servant of the Lord.
Yes, that is sanatan dharma.
That is sanatan dharma.
Dharma means that which sustains one's existence.
That's the textbook definition. Dharma means that which sustains one's existence, or the essential quality of something. Like wetness. Have you ever come across any dry water? I know there's dry ice. Careful here. I don't think you've come across any dry water. All water is wet. It can be in a solid form, but as in the form of water, water is wet. And so, the quality of the soul, which is intrinsic to its nature, is what? Anybody back here? What's the quality, the dharma of the soul, of the human being, of whatever? Anybody? Yes. Serving, yes. The nature of the soul, dharma, is that we must always serve. We can't avoid serving. Even if you say, I serve no one, and there are people who think like that, but they're serving their mind. They're serving time. Time says you get old, they get old. They're serving forcefully. We talked about anukul and pratikul. Anukul vena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. Anukul, service, is bhakti. And pratikul is when Krishna forces you to act. So, Krishna talks about swadharma in this chapter with Arjuna. And there's two levels of swadharma. The first level is that one recognizes, and this is for people who are not self-realized. That's why it's a lower level. But just materialistically, you have to work. You have to do something. So one swadharma would mean within Varnashram to do your duty as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra in such a way that you fulfill the activities of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the Purusharthas. You would fulfill your sensual desires in a regulated way. So, Swadharma for within Varnashram. Would mean prescribed duties again. And then the second level for a pure devotee or a devotee of the Lord. And Varnashram is something that is necessary. There's been a lot of talk. There is a lot of talk, ongoing talk about Varnashram. Varnashram is necessary to that degree that we're entangled in the modes of nature. The more we are able to see ourselves as spirit souls, the more we are not so dependent on Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra designations. So what is the situation? What is the swadharmic situation of a Vaishnava? What is the extra thing? He knows he's a servant. He knows about Dharma. He knows about Varnashrama. What's the extra thing? Yes. Go, you. Yes.
I think you preach the people about Krishna consciousness.
Did you hear?
Yes, to preach people about Krishna consciousness.
To teach people about Krishna consciousness, yes.
To preach
to people about Krishna consciousness. Basically, he knows that he's a servant.
When he's on the transcendental level, he can do any kind of service. And Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita.
Why can he do any kind of service? What is it that he knows?
Because he realizes that
he's
eternal servant of Krishna.
Yes, that's it. That's it exactly. He knows that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. So his swadharma, swa means one's own. And his swadharma is that he knows that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. And anything less than that falls within the area of Varnashram Dharma. So then we talked about Arjuna having a reputation, but Arjuna over and over again, he said that he couldn't see himself killing whom? There were so many people, but mainly, who was he worried about killing? Yes. His gurus. Who were his gurus? Drona. Bhishma. Who else?
Kripa.
Yes. And even there were others in the amongst the Kauravas who were very dear to him. Even he respected to a certain degree Dhritarashtra. So then Krishna tells him, Abacha badangs cha bahun vadishanti tavahita nindam tas tavasamartyam tato dukataram nukim. That Your gurus won't be impressed. They're kshatriyas. You're thinking, I don't want to kill them, but they'll think, oh my God, Arjuna's become a coward. He ran from the battlefield. My best student, I didn't train him to run away and meditate. And as it turned out in the battle, they were more than happy to be, they were expecting to be killed in the battle. They knew that what they were doing, supporting Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, was wrong. They had to do it because they were getting salary. But they weren't happy about it. And then in verse 38, he's given, actually verse 37, he says, O son of Kunti, you will be either killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. Again, here Krishna is telling Arjuna, reminding him, fight. He said it earlier on. He keeps telling him, he's giving him philosophy, he's answering his questions, destroying his doubts, but he keeps getting back to do something. Do your duty, this will really help you. And here again he says fight. He gives this material reason, which Arjuna is kind of rejected, but Krishna emphasizes it. He says either you'll win and rule over the kingdom as a kshatriya should, and you'll actually feel happy by doing your duty. By happiness comes from execution of duty, dharma. Or you will lose, but because it's a righteous battle, therefore your soul will be transferred to the heavenly planets and you'll have unlimited facility for sense gratification. So, at the end, the last verse, 38, Krishna, he's gone down to the material level, but he comes back again to the spiritual plane. He says, sukha dukhe same kripa, labha labha jaya jayo, Pato yudhaya yudhyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. The perfection of work, the way to act in the world without committing sin, is to get free from attachment to happiness and distress, to stop thinking about material happiness and act as a matter of duty. And we discussed this yesterday, that it's important for every devotee to know, to have some kind of duty. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. So it's important for us all to have a duty and have something to do for in Krishna consciousness. Okay, unfortunately I'm starting late and there's a lot more to cover today, but looks like we're being asked to end on time. Yesterday we went till 8 o'clock, but I got one of those little, you know, cards that they slip you, you know. Usually in, they have sometimes in on stage or something, they have a stick with a little hook at the end of it, you know, pull you off the stage. They didn't do that to me. I got a card. So, are there any questions? Comments? Okay. We still haven't been able to get caught up with the one section. that we lost out on the first night when the seminar got canceled. Tomorrow will be the last day. I don't know how I'm going to cover the whole thing, but I think we're going to have a little excitement for you tomorrow, so hope to see you all here on time. Hare Krishna.